All right, Galatians chapter number 3, if you will, and we'll get started here. And we're going to just look at, we end up just looking at a verse here this morning, I think. And we're going to slow down through these three or four verses here in Galatians 3. Because, and I know that we kind of hit them last time a little bit. Galatians 3 verse 26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And in this section here, Paul, he's laying some groundwork here. And actually, every verse, all four verses here, have a great impact on your life. Paul is dealing here with some spiritual issues that reach to the very heart of what it is to be a member of the body of Christ. Sometimes we get off and we think, well, I'm justified by faith and everything's good and blah, 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 and there's nothing more. And Paul says, no, there is more. And he's going to deal here with some things and bring and put them on the table, if you will. And again, I'll just remind you, Galatians 3 and 4, chapter 3 and 4, are the doctrinal sections here for dealing with Galatianism. And the doctrinal section here of how to fix the problems that he's discussed in chapters 1 and 2. And answer the questions at the beginning of chapter 3 that he lays out. And in these four verses here, he's going to put the doctrine on the table that he's going to get into in greater detail in chapter number 4. And actually in chapter number 4, he's going to build on this doctrine here in these four verses. And the doctrine here that he's building upon is the doctrine of our sonship status and the issue of our adulthood in the family of God. And honestly, that's what fixes Galatianism. Galatianism is I know that I'm justified by faith. I'm justified by grace through faith alone. I know that. But in order for me to live the Christian life, now I have to add human performance. That's Galatianism. I've got down my justification, but when it comes to living the Christian life, I need to add the human performance. And when you add that to grace, it's no more grace. It just quits being. So that's Galatianism, really, in a nutshell. That's why here in chapter 3, if you look back up at verse 3, he asks the question, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that is, justified by grace through faith alone? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now in your walk, by adding in my human performance now, does that make me perfect?" And the answer is no, it doesn't. It actually worsens the condition. So that's what Paul's getting at here now, is he's beginning to lay some of that doctrine out here. And again, the issue of Galatianism, the issue of adding in the law, for human performance, I don't care if it's the Mosaic law or if it's something that you've come up on your own, it just destroys grace. And it's interesting in talking with people, grace people, who understand right division, it seems to be a prevalent thing to say, well, I understand my justification, but I've got to be able to help over here in my Christian life. And it doesn't work that way, folks. That's why Colossians, that passage in Colossians 2, as you've received Christ, so walk ye in Him. It's an issue of walking by faith. And what tends to happen is our flesh tends to want to help out. And in good intentions or not, it doesn't work. And that's what Paul is getting at here. Verse 26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Notice he says ye. Now he's turning to the Gentile membership of the body of Christ. Ye. Now he's turning his attention. Look up at verse 23. He says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law. Who was under the law? The Jews were. The we there is the Jews. Verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. Who did the law belong to? Israel. And what Paul is doing here is he's been giving the Gentile reader a history lesson of Jewish history is what he's been doing. And the reason he's been doing that issue about we were under the law and it was designed to bring us to faith, the faith, the doctrine, you know, and so forth, Christ and everything, and now the faith of the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. The reason he's doing this is because that's what the opposition to Paul is doing with them, is bringing them and putting them under the law. They're over here saying, look, guys, Galatians, yes, you've been justified by faith alone, yes, but now you have to come over here and work under the law to have a mature and perfect and beautiful Christian life. And Paul's like, no, you don't have to do that. So when Paul, look down at chapter 4 and verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? They desire to be under the law. That's the opposition. That's Galatianism. That's the crowd that has come along and says, hey, look, you guys are saved. Yeah, we got you. You're justified. But, buddy, if you want to have the most perfect Christian life and look good, then guess what you need to do? You need to follow the law. If you look over at chapter 6, that's what Paul's getting at again here. In chapter 4 or 5 and 6, there's going to be some practical applications in the details of life of how the grace, the doctrines of grace outweigh far better the law. And here it is in chapter 6, verse number 11, or verse 12, he says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. There it is. Boy, look at me. I look good. You like my new jacket? That's a new jacket. That's a Kohl's $45 jacket right there on the clearance sale. You know, okay? You lose a little weight. You got to go get them. You like these, the pants? Those are freebies from my dad. Okay. Mom came to town. She brought two suitcases. One was mine, full of clothes for my dad that he can't wear anymore. So it's always a good thing, and I could fit into half of them. The other half were too big. So anyway, they make a fair show in the flesh. How do they make a fair show in the flesh in the verse? They constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised, what? Keep the law. They don't even keep the law the way they're supposed to. But they would have you do it. And they would have you do it so they wouldn't suffer the persecution for the cross of Christ's sake. They would come in, and rather than stand there and preach the right message, they'll preach the wrong message just so they won't take it in the neck for preaching the right message. That's what he's getting at there. And he comes along and he says, hey guys, but they, verse 13, they neither themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory, where? In your flesh. That's Galatianism. Back here in 3:26, Paul is beginning to say, okay guys, you guys got the history. The reason I've been talking about the schoolmaster and the law is because that's where my opposition is. These are the guys opposing me. What are they doing to the Galatians? They're bringing them back underneath that law. So Paul says you need to understand what's going on here. They're scriptural, they're just not dispensational. So he says, for ye, or all, ye, the body of Christ as a whole, are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, the all there gets everybody in trouble. This is a great verse for the universalist. This is a great verse for the Calvinist. And they use it, and they twist it, and so forth. You know what a universalist believes, don't you? That everybody's saved. They just don't know it yet. And one day they'll know it. And then one day it'll be done. Now you have little universalists, then you have medium ones, and then you have the extreme. The little believe, well, they're the more Calvinist. The elect know, and you know the Lord will show you, and He'll put His faith in you. And the guys in the middle just say, no, everybody's saved, they just don't know it yet. One day they'll know it. The extreme says, in the end, out there, everybody's going to get saved, including Satan and Lucifer. Hello? Exactly. Because of the all in this verse, and this is one of their little verses that they like to use, but who's he talking to? Who is the all a reference to? The saved members of the body of Christ. By faith, in the children of God. How am I the child of God? By faith in Christ Jesus. Not because I'm human, but because of my act of my free will, my volition to believe and trust in Him. So when He says here, for ye are all, verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, the issue there of baptism and identification there, the children of God, everyone who has exercised faith in Jesus Christ becomes a child of God. That's what they become. Hold on over and look, go back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm struck, honestly, by how much is out there about, well, everybody is a child of God. You are not created in the image of God. You know that, don't you? I hope you do. Come back to Genesis with me. Come back to Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. And then get Genesis chapter 5. Genesis 1, verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon him, upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created he him. Male and female created he them. That's Adam, folks. That's before Eve. Adam was made in the image of God. Adam had both the male and the female attributes within himself. Eve is not in that picture yet. She didn't get created until a little bit later in the chapter, okay? Actually, over in chapter 2, you begin to see that. But look over at chapter 5 of Genesis. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. There they are. That's Genesis 2, or Genesis 1. Now, watch verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name, who?
Seth.
You and I are created in the image of Adam. Because you know what happened in Genesis 3? Sin entered into the picture. Okay? So, when you come back to 2 Corinthians 5, again, I'm struck by how many folks believe that we're created in the image of God when clearly the verse says, no, you're not. 2 Corinthians 5 here, how do I become a child of God? How do I become a member of the family of God? Well, I do it by faith in Christ Jesus. That's how I do it. That's how I become. Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 17. Therefore, if, and that's the condition. That isn't the question. If the condition, any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. This is an identity verse here. Okay? If you be a child of God, what are you? A new creature. Well, how do I become a new creature? By faith in Christ Jesus. Okay? a new creature. Something brand new. We are a new species of humanity. It's interesting. A new creation. We're not being born again. Okay? We are a new. We're something new. Look over to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. When this verse, I don't understand the desire, honestly. I don't understand the desire to twist and to use verses out of their context to prove a theological point. And that's all that they're doing with it. Look at Ephesians 2. Look at verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For, that word for, further explanation, we are His, what? Workmanship. What's the next word? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When am I created in Christ Jesus? When am I become His workmanship? For by grace are you saved through faith. When I by faith in Christ Jesus. So when Paul talks here, and back in Galatians 3, verse number 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, he's talking about the believer. In our Romans study, Romans chapter number 3 there, unto all, in verse 22, unto all and upon all them that believe. Unto all. The provision of Calvary is made available to everybody. So it's an unlimited provision, right? But it has a limited application. It's only being applied to the account of those who believe. You guys okay? Okay. All right. We're this new creation. We become, back in Galatians 3:26, for ye are all the children of God. At the moment of salvation, folks, we become a part of God's family. We're not a part of God's family before that. Okay? Far from it is right. Romans 5 is clear. We are His enemy. We're not a family. We're not a friend of the family. We're His enemy. We're ungodly. We're not godly. Then he says here, for ye are all the children of God. Children. A born one. You know? A member of the family. And I know what happens is you get caught on that born again thing. Okay? The passage on the born again, you want to define the born again. It's John 3 and verse number 6. John 3 and verse number 6. And quite honestly, the term born again has been politicized. You can't get too far away from discussing it without all of a sudden discussing about politics. And that's too bad, because it is a tremendous doctrine in your Bible about for Israel. John 3, verse number 6, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's your definition of being born again. Being born of the Spirit. Now, it's interesting when you talk about a child. A born one. I have children. They were born of Linda and I, and they're in my family. Well, you and I are born of God. We are the children of God. How? By faith in Jesus Christ. Paul calls that regeneration. You know, regeneration. To make alive. To bring you to cause you to come alive. If you come over back there to Ephesians 2, Ephesians 2, Titus 3, 5 is the verse, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. But in Ephesians 2, verse 1, he says, and you hath He quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. You see where you were? You were dead in trespasses and sins. You weren't alive to God. You couldn't talk to God. You were dead to Him in your sins. But He quickened you. How did He quicken you? by faith in Christ Jesus. We are regenerated, and it happens at salvation. And quite honestly, your flesh wasn't born of God. You're after the image of who? Adam. Your flesh was born of Adam's flesh with the sin problem. That's why in Ephesians 2, he goes on to talk about your time past. Verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There you are. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The children of wrath. You're born into this. That's your identity before Calvary. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Notice how Paul in the parentheses qualifies how you're quickened together with Him. He doesn't just leave it hanging to say, well, could that be before? Could it be way back here before the foundation of the world that He knew me and all this? No, He qualifies it there. In Scripture, folks, see, when you talk about being born again, people say, well, you're born once of the flesh and then you're born again spiritually. In Scripture, the only people ever born of God physically and then to be born of God spiritually is Israel. Nobody else is. You weren't born physically of God. Okay? That's why in Israel, all they had to do was be born in Israel, born in one of the family lines, and guess what they were physically? Israel. They were the favored nation. They didn't have to come within and work their way in. All you got to do is, boys, just be born. And what can you hold? You got your genealogy card. I'm golden. Come back with me to Deuteronomy 32. Unfortunately, there's a quagmire of stuff about this. Deuteronomy 32, verse number 18. And unfortunately, folks, you know what our problem is? Is our flesh wasn't born of God. So we can't claim this stuff. Deuteronomy 32, 18. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God. The rock, capital R, Christ. Paul quotes it over in 1 Corinthians 10. And he says, the rock, which is Christ, what did he do? He begat them. He born them physically. Come back to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11. This one cracks me up in Numbers 11. Numbers 11, verse number 10. Get the story here. They're out in Kadesh Barnea. They've been out there walking around in circles, literally. It took them 40 years to make an 11-day trip or an 8-day trip or whatever it was. There in Deuteronomy, what does it say? 11-day journey. It took them 40 years to do. Numbers 11, verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families. Every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Why have you done this to me, Lord? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? What in the world? Lord, why did you do this to me? Have I conceived all this people? Notice, I didn't birth these people. You did. Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child into the land which thou sawest under the... Whence should I have flesh? I mean, Moses is... Lord, I didn't birth these people. You did. Why are you laying it all on me? And you can finish off the chapter and see what the answer is. Okay? So when you come back to 1 Corinthians 4, physically, the only people in Scripture that has a legal right to say, I am born again, is the nation of Israel. And specifically, the believing remnant over there in the kingdom. Because that's when they're born again spiritually, underneath that new covenant. Ezekiel 36, Jeremiah 31. So when you come back over to 1 Corinthians 4, you see, folks, physical birth wasn't enough for Israel. They also had to have a spiritual birth. You and I, we don't need the physical birth. We have the spiritual birth. We don't qualify for the physical birth. But we do have the spiritual birth. You know what Paul says? I begotten you where? Through the gospel. 1 Corinthians 4:15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you, where? Through the gospel. Nothing physical there. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Why would we follow Paul? Because he's our spiritual father, if you say it that way, I guess. He's begotten you through the gospel, through the impact of the Word of God preached to you, through the revelation given to Paul. I hope you're following this. Because you and I are born of God. We are the children of God. But how did we get that? By faith in Christ Jesus. We don't get that because we were born over here physically of mom and dad. We get that because of our faith in Christ Jesus. And folks, that's the only response grace will ever accept, is your faith. That's it. Grace will only accept the voluntary giving of your faith. That's it. And come back to Galatians 3, we put our faith in Christ Jesus, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our faith rests, totally and completely in Him, His Word, and His work at Calvary. That's where we place our faith. Now, in verse 26, he says here, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The issue here of the children of God leads to one of the major doctrines that are coming in chapter 4. Look down at chapter 4 with me. And what Paul is doing here, again, is he's going to lay the information in 3:26 about your child, about your identity, and then in 4:1 and following, he's going to build on that. And he's going to give you more information. 4:1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Notice the heir. Well, the heir is coming to us in verse 29. We'll study that next time. Verse 29, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There's the heir. Now, what's the promise? You remember? Eternal life. Imputed righteousness, therefore eternal life. Giving the ability, God can give you eternal life because you have His righteousness. And that's the issue there. And by the way, that heir thing, over there in Romans 8, talks about being an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Those are two different things he's talking about there. Look over with me at Titus 3. I get on a rabbit trail here for just a second. Titus 3, verse number 7. Titus 3, 7. And that passage in Romans 8, there is a little two-letter word after that issue of joint heirship, and it's called if. And there's a condition on that joint heirship thing. And every time I get into it, man, people just, they flip their lid about it because it's a condition about your joint heir with Christ, not your heirship. 3:7, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There's the gift of God. God, chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. But you go back there to Romans 8, verse 17, and he says, we're heirs of God and we're joint heirs of Christ if we suffer. There's a condition with that reigning. Because what is Christ given by God, the Father, to rule and reign over the universe? And there's it's tremendous. And people go, oh, you're going to take away something. No. Study it out. You don't lose anything, folks. You don't lose a spiritual blessing. You do lose, 1 Corinthians 3, a position of rank and ruling in the thing. And anyway, back to chapter 4 of Galatians. So the child, Galatians 4:1, the heir, that's verse 29, we'll talk about that next time, as long as he is a child, here's verse 26, a child here, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. There's the law, tutors, teach you something, governors, hold you back. That's how people use the law. Just teach me something on how to stop sin in my life, and I'll control it. Ain't a law in the books, folks, that'll stop sin in your life. Why? Because by the law is what? The knowledge of sin. What is the law designed to do? Point your sin out. Here it is. Look at what you just did. And oh, by the way, he paid for what you just did. Verse 3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of who? Of sons. The adoption of sons. Your sonship status. Now, adoption in the Bible, when we go through this section in next week or two, not next week, but and 2 weeks or whatever, we'll go through the issue of adoption, because adoption in the Bible is not adoption that you and I think about over here, where we come and take somebody and make them a member of our family. You and I are already members of the family. By what? Faith in Christ Jesus. Okay? So then adoption in the Bible isn't talking about that. It's talking about Him placing us as a son. Adoption of sons. Now, over in Romans 8, he talks about adoption, the spirit of adoption, but he tells you what he's talking to it, the what? The redemption of our body. That's why I've told you over and over and over again to please be careful with your word studies. Because just because a word is defined in one passage, it doesn't mean it's going to match the context where it's used in another passage. Okay? Because adoption in Romans 8 is clearly defined, the redemption of your body. This adoption is qualified as what? Of sons. There's something else going on here. And guess what we've received in Ephesians 1? We've received the adoption. And so guess what that means? 8 and this one go together. They don't stand separate. They link into each other. Because where do you and I receive, in reality, in time, in our experience, our positions of adults out there at the rapture when we get our new body? It dovetails together. But I know people, oh no, adoption just means that. No, it doesn't just mean that. It means some other things as well. There's more. Folks, I hope you understand, there's only 13 books of Paul that he wrote. Each book builds upon the book of Romans, quite honestly. And each book takes you deeper in a subject that you've learned in Romans. Takes you further and deeper and deeper. So you can't always just say, well, it means this here, so it means that everywhere. It doesn't. It's got different because of what? The context. In February in the Bible conference in California, we're studying about the 400 years of King James, and one of the passages, here's the flyer back there, is the issue of the unique built-in dictionary of a King James Bible. Okay? And I've been studying some of this because I don't know which one I'm teaching, so I start studying a little bit of all of them until I get the teaching list, which is usually the week before, so I get some build-up stuff ahead, you know? Or actually, it's been in the week. Hey, Rick, Wednesday. Hey, yeah, you're teaching this. Oh, man. Okay? And you know what? That's the case in your Bible, in your King James Bible. You don't get it in a new Bible, by the way. You know, you always say you got to find if you don't understand a verse, go find another verse. But you also have to watch the context that verse sits in. Because that words have meaning, folks. Even the little ifs and the context defines for you what those words mean every time. Verse number 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The adoption of sons. You know what? Every son is a child. You know that? But every child is not a son. I have 3 children. Of the 3, only one's my son. So we're talking about more than just being born into the family. We're talking about a position that you are placed in at the table in the family of God. Verse 6, he says, and because ye are sons. Now, that doesn't leave out the women. Some people teach that, by the way. It doesn't say just men only. It says ye are sons. How am I a son? By faith in Christ Jesus. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son in our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God. Through who? Through Christ. He's not talking... Paul here, again, building on the information, back up in 3:26. We are born of God. And what Paul's driving at is that there is more to the relationship between you and God than just simply being born of Him. There's more going on here than just your justification. And just, I mean, there is so, you're talking about that sonship status, man. There, you know, people go, oh, I'll never know that. Baloney, you can know it. But there's more going on here than just, and I'm excited because I know what we're doing when we get down into 4, okay? And I don't want to teach 4 today, but there's so, we are born of God to the point that there is, now, there's more to our relationship with God today in the body of Christ than just being born in the family of God. There's more. We sit at the table as an adult. This morning, if you were here this morning, you heard my children argue a little bit. And that was mild because they know where we're at. Okay? I can go in and talk to my child one way. Okay? He's my child. Knock it off, smack him upside the back of the head, put him in the corner, put him in timeout, whatever stuff you use. That's what you do with a child. With a child, you put them under the law. But there comes a point in time when they're no longer under the law. They're no longer a child. They become an adult. Now, by the way, they're not an adult until it says there in verse 2, until the time appointed of the father. So, Dad, your job is to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to the point where you can have your Galatians 4 conversation with them, that they are no longer a child, but they are an adult. I remember mine with my dad. Okay? And I remember that because subsequently in our conversations, you know how he quit talking to me like a child. Instead, he started talking to me as an adult. So now when my dad calls up and says, hey, Rick, you know, we're going to do this, this, and this. What do you think? It isn't as a child, it's as an adult. You're on an equal footing here now. You understand that, I hope. And as a dad, and speaking to dads that are in the room that still have children, then you need to pay attention to that. Because there'll come a point in time in your kid's life, whether it's a boy or a girl, where you're going to have to sit down and say, okay, you are now... You're going to have to sit down and release them to their maturity. Now, that's hard for mom. Because mom, they're always what? My kids. I'm still my mom's son. And if last week when she was here, she reminded me of that. Even though you're older now and stuff, you're still my son. So that's what's going on here. And when you come back up into verse 26, he says, "For ye are all the children of God." How? By faith in Christ Jesus. And that's the issue. Paul says, are you foolish? You've begun right in the Spirit. Are you now made perfect by the flesh? No. You will never be perfect in your flesh. It just ain't going to happen. You trying to do it. Adding human effort. Galatians, what you guys have missed is the sonship status. The issue of your sonship. The issue of who you are in Christ. The issue of your identity given to you because of Calvary. You've missed that. By the way, folks, this is Romans 6, 7, and 8 that he's on. Romans 1 to 5 deals with the justification issue. They had it. They just weren't in their sonship right. They had chosen to go back under the law. And when you go back under the law, you know what you do? You move away from your sonship. Because your sonship says, no, it's over here in who you are in Christ. The law says, no, it's over here in who you are, in your flesh. And that's what's happening with the Galatians, is they're being dragged back underneath the law. And Paul's standing up, waving his arms, saying, no, let's move back over here under our sonship, our adulthood, over here. And let's pay attention to what we're doing over here and not worry about over here. You guys are on the law side again, okay? Over here again. And Paul says, when you move back underneath that law, you don't understand what life is really all about. You really don't. You don't understand what God did for you at Calvary. Well, He paid for my sins, but He did much more. So much more. And Paul here, again, he's scolding them, man. He's correcting their bad doctrine. Because what have they done? They've moved over here back underneath the law, and Paul says, when you move back underneath that law, look over at 1 Corinthians 1. We'll get into this in baptism next time, but look at 1 Corinthians 1. He's saying is he made you a child born into the family. And he placed you in this wonderful status in that family as an adult based upon him giving you life and making you an heir. That's what Paul's driving at. Watch 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, and we usually stop right there in that verse, but you've got to finish the verse, honestly. Not with wisdom of words. I love that. Sometimes we think that if we speak big words or fancy words that we're doing something wonderful. And that just ain't the case. And I use ain't on purpose. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of what? None effect. What is baptism in your Bible? Again, we're going to study this next time a little bit more. It's a ceremonial cleansing. That's what it is. It's sprinkling. It isn't dunking. He goes over there and he says, I'm going to pour out the Holy Spirit on you. Exodus, he says, I'll sprinkle. Ezekiel, he says, I'll sprinkle water on you. It's a ceremony, a part of the law. If you go back underneath the law, what are you doing to the cross of Christ? Making it of none effect. Now go back to Galatians chapter number 2, because he just told you the same thing in Galatians 2. Verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Is right here, right now. You know what he is? It's worthless to you. It's of none effect. It has no impact on you. Why? Because I'm back over here underneath the law. And that's what Paul's driving at in verse 26. It, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. He didn't. He made you a child in the family, but he did that by faith in Christ Jesus. But when you're in that family, he doesn't sit you at the table as a child. Rather, he places you there as an adult. That's why God requires you to make some decisions in your life. What? It's interesting when people, well, I'm just praying that the Lord will tell me which way to go. He's told you which way to go. It's in his book. We just don't study his book. We want the whisper. We want the sign. If I was up north in Flagstaff this weekend, it would have been telling me to get out of town. You know, close down and all that snow and stuff. New York Times Square, they said, had 26 inches in one night in Times Square. I would be leaving Times Square. That's the issue here. He made you a child. He placed you in this wonderful status of an adult based upon him giving you life and making you an heir. Now, we'll go back in verse 27 and hopefully maybe get those last three verses next time. But I don't want you to miss what's going on in 26. It's a little verse, isn't it? But it's loaded. Because that little verse sets up pieces of chapter 4. Verse number 27 there is going to set up pieces of chapter 4. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. How are we one? By faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27, you're baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. Verse 29, and if ye be Christ, then Christ, with apostrophe S, you belong to Him. Have you ever typed in your Word document and you put Christ and you leave off the apostrophe and it always underlines it and you have to go over there and do a spell check and it asks you which one it wants? Because an apostrophe S is a possession. He owns you. You're here. Why? By faith in Christ Jesus. So, again, we'll pick up in verse 27 there next time. Just, I don't want you to miss what's going on with the Galatians, because it is so important here with what's happening with them, because you and I fall into this trap that's been laid here by the opposition to Paul. And the opposition to Paul, they follow Paul all the time through his Acts epistles. You read about them. And they're laying this and they're doing it, and they're using the Scripture. They're just not dispensational. That's why I tell people all the time, you begin to leave Paul, when you begin to leave the grace of God, you're leaving Paul. Well, no, I'm not. He's my apostle. I understand. No, when you begin to leave the grace of God, you begin to leave Paul. That's what the Galatians have done. Is they begin to leave the grace of God, therefore leaving Paul. And that's how people are carried away and made shipwreck, is that they begin to leave. And how do they leave the grace of God? They bring in human performance. Whether they guise it in Old Testament Scripture, or whether they guise it in their religion, or whether they guise it in something that they just thought up of, what are they doing? They're not. They're here. They're not here. They leave Paul. So Galatians is a six chapters of nothing but warning, 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 warning. Because when you leave the grace of God, you leave Paul. Therefore, you are leaving the grace of God, and you're leaving the announcer, the due time testifier of that. So anyway. We'll carry on next time. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the morning, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Galatians 3 and for the status and the position that we have in the family, in your family, because of what Christ accomplished at Calvary. And we'll just give you the praise and you the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.